The Lord's word tells us that it is better to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting, for that is the end of all flesh. And so today, we are here gathered in this funeral service to remember the life of our sister Audrey McComb. And we invite you to take your program now and turn to the opening hymn. This is a significant hymn because the family requested, "Eternal Father, strong to save, who am hath bound the restless waves, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea." And of course, the involvement that Audrey had in the Wrens was very significant, and the service that she gave to our own country, well, it is a blessing. And as we think of the ones who have given their lives for the service of our freedom, well, it's a significant thing that we should praise God by the singing of this hymn as we open our service today. Please stand with me as we sing. Let's still ourselves now, please, before the Lord as we pray for his presence here in our service. Father, we come this afternoon in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we bow in thy holy presence. And dear Father, we come this day to pray that we will be mindful, each one aware of the Savior's nearness to us. We pray that as we sing and praise and worship thy name, and as we give praise by reading the scriptures, Lord, we acknowledge that without you we can do nothing, and that we stand today in great need. And we pray that everyone gathered in this service today would be very conscious and aware that God is here, and the Holy Spirit would speak through thy holy word and bring comfort to the hearts that are grieving today. We pray for every family member, whether connected close or perhaps at a distance, and the friends that are gathered today to remember, to pay tribute, to give thanks for the life of our sister Audrey. Lord, we pray that every one of us will be very much aware of the goodness and grace of God that we have experienced, Father, in our life in so many, many ways. But the greatest of all is that our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to live among sinful men and to die on a cruel cross that we might have forgiveness of sins, to be washed and cleansed and to have a home in heaven. And Lord, our prayer is today that as the gospel is presented, that hearts will be open and that souls will be brought to a living relationship with Jesus our Lord. So, our dear Father, hear our prayers today. Continue to be with us now and bless us, for we pray all these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The second hymn we have in our program is titled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We have friends in this world. We have had friends perhaps from childhood, work friends, relatives that are close friends, and there are friends that have joined to us from one reason or another. But I say to you today from my heart, there is no better or closer friend that you can have than the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother or closer than a sister even. And today as we sing this hymn, it is a hymn that was penned by a man named Joseph Scriven. And Joseph Scriven suffered a great deal in his life, tragedy. And it was after he lost his second fiancée that he was ready to be married to by a very tragic death that he penned these words, What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's stand again as we sing. Audrey McComb has been connected with our congregation really back to the time when she met and married Mr. McComb, and he goes back a long way with his connection in the congregation here, and if you know anything about the fellowship or ministry, back to the time when we were on Warden Avenue, and even back to the days before that down in Cosbourne Avenue, back a long way. And from the time we met Audrey and got to know her better, it was a joy to have fellowship with her. And then from the time she went into Shepherd Lodge Manor, and then the last number of years when she's not been able to be out to the church here because of just bodily weakness, yet she fulfilled a very important ministry during the time she was in Shepherd. And those were special times, and many people testify of knowing her in her wheelchair as she would motor around through all the corridors and up and down the elevator and so on, and just visiting and helping people. And she was a really great encouragement. In her room in Shepherd, there was a picture of her standing by a helicopter, and she took a helicopter ride. She had really an indomitable spirit, and she wanted to be involved in anything that was action-packed. Some of you will know about a program they have down at the CN Tower, and they have something called the walk around the outside of the tower, the edge walk. Well, Audrey wanted to do the edge walk, and you get strapped into a harness, and they let you out, and you walk around the perimeter. They have built a cage around the outside and a grating, and it's a pretty scary ordeal. I know, because I did it myself, but Audrey wanted to do it, but unfortunately they wouldn't let anyone who had some levels of heart problem, they wouldn't allow them to do it. But she was game for it, and she was disappointed they wouldn't let her go out and do that. She was certainly a very active person and has many, many good traits about her. The most important trait that she had was that she knew the Lord Jesus as her own Savior. She gave testimony of knowing that her sins were forgiven, for she trusted in the Lord as her own personal Savior. Very good friends with Audrey was Mr. Duncan McKercher, and Duncan is going to come now and to bring some personal reflections, and then following him, Dr. McClellan will come to bring the message of the day. And of course, Dr. McClellan, who was Audrey's pastor for so many years, as he is a senior pastor of the church here, and it's only fitting that he should bring the word and the tribute from God's truth.
Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see a nice turnout for our dear friend Audrey. She was a wonderful girl, and I hope you don't mind me calling her a girl, but my friend Wilfie and I, we do an old folks ministry, and all our girls down there love to be called girls, so we just look upon them as nice ladies. I'm just thinking in the back row when I was sitting there, I'm going to be talking about Audrey, and there's many family members here that would know her far, far better than I ever would have, and yet it's still through my eyes of what I know of Audrey that I'm going to be talking about. I joined the church here in 1979 on Warden Avenue, and very happy because the Lord had led me here, and of course after a wee while, because of my personality and everything, I found myself at the front door and greeting people coming in and everything else like that. And of course Bert and his two family members were there as well. I got to know them quite quickly, and one Sunday morning this stranger lady showed up with them, so I went over to introduce myself, and I found out that she was Audrey as well. And I thought to myself, well, here's a new girl. And she seemed to be a very quiet, kind of shy, retiring type of individual to my recollections of a way back then. Anyway, we got talking and tried to find out a few pointers about her. We always try to be kind of personal with people to make them feel you're in our church now, so we hope you're going to be happy here. If the Lord has brought you and led you, well, then you certainly would be, as that's what happened to my wife and myself. So anyway, after a while, we were talking back and forward week by week, and then I didn't realize at that time, so many years ago, that that was the start of a really a wonderful relationship that we had with my wife and my family and Audrey and her family. And it's actually continued right up to this very moment. So it's been a long friendship, a wonderful friendship, and a really caring friendship from everybody concerned. And so anyway, we just all clicked for some strange reason or another. And of course, we were much younger at that time, and they were a wee bit older than what we are. Somehow or another, I find myself up around the same age now, so I think I've been catching up to some of them. Anyway, after a while, we started to have a bit of fellowship with more Bert McComb originally, because there was a bit of a need. Bert was in the Orange Lodge, and of course, I, being a Protestant, I would be down at the Orange Walk year by year by year, and I find it rather kind of fitting that today is the glorious 12th, of which we Protestants celebrate the 12th of July, the Battle of the Boyne, when we took over in the world, as it were, on the Protestant side of things. And it's a great day for those of us that believe in that kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, Bert and a few of the fellows from the church here, they wanted to start an independent Christian type of Orange Lodge, and they didn't have too many people, so they asked a couple of the members, myself included, and Jim Wilson, if every time they were having the walk, if we would go downtown and carry one of these great big banners, you know, which we were very glad to do, and we did that for quite a few years, and we really, really enjoyed that. And of course, Bert, with being in that lodge, he was a good man, and a good Orange man as well, a good Christian. And that was another way of us finding out a wee bit more of them on their personal side of life. And then after a while, we started to get a wee bit more friendly with Audrey, and we would go down to visit her at her house and everything else, you know. And of course, being Christians, you always find in your conversations that the Lord, you might settle all the troubles of the world, first of all, you know, and then you get starting to talk about God and Christ and the need of salvation and all these kinds of things. So we shared our testimony with Audrey quite a lot of times. And one night, my previous wife, Kay, we were down to the house visiting with her, and we were talking about the things of the Lord and everything else. And she said to us, she said, you know, I would really like to be saved. I would really like to be born again. Because in John 3:3, the Bible tells us that you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And Audrey had come to this realization that she, like the rest of us, were sinners, and we needed to be saved, because it's only through salvation that any one of us will ever enter into heaven. And that was the way. So that night, Kay and I had the joy and the pleasure of pointing Audrey to the Lord Jesus Christ. She realized that she was a sinner, and she admitted that to the Lord in prayer. She said, Father, take me as I am. Help me. Forgive me. Take away all of my sins. Let me repent of all of my past sins as well, which all of us must do if we come to Christ. And that night, praise God, she was ushered in to be a child of God. And that's why even on this wee pamphlet right here, where it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's from Psalm 116, verse 15. I have to admit that I don't like to tell anybody that I am a saint, although God tells us if we're saved, we are saints. But when we know each other, you'll be thinking, well, if I tell somebody I'm a saint, they're going to be expecting an awful lot of things that I'll probably never, ever live up to, because we must realize we're all sinners. But those of us who are fortunate enough to be saved are sinners saved by God's grace. And as we stand here today, it was a wonderful blessing that night. It's really a wonderful thing for anyone that's a Christian to be used of God to point someone to the Lord. But see, when it's a special friend, a family member, there's just something, just a wee bit extra about something like that. Anyway, so Audrey, she became saved, and after that she realized a lot of things like myself. She was like me in a different way. How did I put that? She went to a church down at the Riverdale Church down off the Danforth, I believe it is, and we went to the regular Presbyterian Church. So both of us were very similar in the same way, because we were very good church attenders, but we didn't know anything about salvation, because we never ever heard it preached, unfortunately. But the Lord in His mercy showed us through other people as well that we too did need to be saved. And praise God, my wife and I both got saved 2 years apart, and then when we were with Audrey, we were able to share these kinds of things with her and make her realize that people will be looking on you now and looking for different things, because we are new creatures in Jesus Christ, and there will be changes. And if there's not changes, there's going to be somebody saying, aha, you're a Christian and that's what you say or that's what you do. But always remember, as a Christian, we're all very, very human, and we can make mistakes. So anyway, after a while, Audrey had to move out of her home because of her health and everything else, and she did move over to the Shepherd Lodge, and she was at that time still able to drive, and her legs were in pretty good shape, and that was fine. Then after a while, she was no longer allowed to drive because of the laws and everything else and the age and whatever it was. So again, there was a need. Audrey, of course, was a Wren, and we welcome Janet here today in particular. She's a fellow Wren with Audrey, and she was in the Wrens, and every month, I believe it was, thinking back, they had a meeting that they would all gather into. And of course, now the need for Audrey was she needed a wee run down from Kennedy and Shepherd to Young and Bloor. So I volunteered to take her any time that she wanted to go, and I would just drop her off there, and she told me what time the meetings would be over, and then I would go back and pick her up again and take her back to her apartment there in Shepherd Lodge. So she was very, very appreciative of these kinds of things, and of course I was very glad that I could do such a thing. And of course, a really good friend, Dorothy, who was also a Wren, she lived down in the Port Colborne area, and she used to come up to Shepherd Lodge every once in a while and visit. And of course, Audrey wanted to go down, so that meant a wee drive from here down to there. So again, I volunteered, and it was really nice, actually. It's a nice drive along the 401, the Queenie, down into the country and everything else. And it was, of course, Audrey always loved a good drive anyway, so that was half the battle right there. But she really, really enjoyed that. And while we were there, we'd go out for a nice meal somewhere and everything else, and it was really very, very pleasant, and just part and parcel of our time together as friends. And a couple of times, what was it, a wee while after that, Dorothy was going to come up to Toronto to stay from that area, but somehow or another it just didn't work out. I guess she was a wee country girl at heart, and the big city just wasn't for her, so she went back down to Port, what is it? Which port is that down there?
Port Colborne,
thank you. Yes, it slipped my mind there for a minute. She moved into an old folks' home in Port Colborne, and lovely place as well. And the two ladies were very, very appreciative of the fact that they could spend time together, because after all, they were friends from way back in the 40s, and that's a long time to have a friendship, you know. And so that was another wonderful thing that I was able to do. I'm not taking any credit for it, because I received a blessing just by being with the good ladies, you know. And so that was a real blessing as well. And so therefore, Audrey, as Larry, he stole a couple of my lines there, but that's okay. I'll talk to him about that afterwards. And one of the things about, because when she could no longer drive, when the Lord brought along that scooter for her in the old folks' home, I used to say, Audrey, I said, do you realize the blessing that the Lord has given you by granting you a scooter like that? I don't know how many of you saw, I'm sure quite a few, that she could drive that wee thing around there like you'd never believe. And I thought, and she was up and down the hallways, and many, many people, I'm sure, got so used to seeing her as almost like part of the furniture. And of course, I'm sure she would manage to have a good fellowship and a good talk with a lot of the people that actually lived in there as well. So that was a wonderful blessing from the Lord to her. Now, we were back in Northern Ireland for the whole month of May, and then just when we come back, we were told that Audrey was not feeling too well at all. So Joan and I, we went down to visit her just to see how she was, and we were really, really shocked to see the condition that she was in. And it was an awful thing to see Audrey lying there like that, and unfortunately she wasn't able to speak. And we were just going down the elevator, and I says to my wife, I says, you know, it was really sad that we have to part like this where we can't have a conversation. Just something, but there's nothing you can do about it. I realized that, but it was saddened in my heart because we wanted to have that. And of course, she was feeling so bad. And Joan had says to me, Dunk, she says, I don't know if we should leave or not, she said, because Audrey may not make it through the day, and that's how poorly she looked that day. But the Lord has his own time. And next time we went down to see her, she was actually able to talk with us, which was a real, real blessing. It was just a wee thing. We were able to have a wee prayer with her, and we read a couple of the Psalms, and she was very appreciative. The last time we saw her there was just the Sunday before she passed away. We had come from here, I says to Joan, I says, we're going to go down from here to visit Audrey because we just don't know how long she's got. And we went down there, and she was actually looking not too bad at all, considering what she had been. So we were talking, and I was sharing different things with her about the old folks ministry and all this kind of stuff. And she was able to say a couple of words, but not too much. And I said to her, Audrey, I said, do you remember the night that Kay and I were in your house? And I says, you asked us, you wanted to be saved, you wanted to be born again, and you accepted the Lord as your Savior that night. I said, did you remember that? And she nodded her head. And I thought, praise the Lord. In spite of the weakness of her whole body, she still remembered that night that she accepted Christ as her own Lord and Savior. When she was married, there was a Scottish minister apparently there, and he gave her a poem. It's all written in Scottish, so I won't read it in that, or you'll not understand it. But I'll translate it as I go. It's You're All Welcome Home, it's called. You needn't think it's not for you, and soon you'll sit alone. He bought an entrance with his blood, and you're all welcome home. You needn't ponder on the road. If so, he's not to blame. Come unto me, he says to all, for you're all welcome home. You're all welcome home. You're all welcome home. Come unto me, he says to all, for you're all welcome home. And just think now that Audrey has left us. She received that welcome herself personally from Christ. And if there's anyone in here today, if you're not saved, the only way that you can be saved is Audrey and myself and others like us. We came to the Lord. We asked him to save us. He's only a prayer away, and that's the only thing that will get any of us into heaven, because if we've got any sin on us at all, the sin is what stops you from going in. So just think, would you like, anybody that's not saved, would you like to have a welcome like that when you leave this old world behind? And just think, the Lord is there waiting for you and saying, you're all welcome home. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you, Duncan, for those reflections. One of the problems of being the third speaker is that everybody has taken your lines before you get to speak. Larry stole some of Duncan's, and Duncan has stole some of mine, but we'll manage. One thing I have learned, and that is that Audrey was 95 years of age, and Duncan has just told us that he was her spiritual father in leading her to the Lord, so I think Duncan is much older than I thought he was. But anyhow, we appreciate the reflections that he brought about his time with Audrey. We're going to read a few verses from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, commencing at verse 1, and I'll read most of the chapter, but we'll leave a couple of verses out just for the sake of time. Revelation 4 and verse 1, John is speaking, and he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Then in verse 8, "And the 4 beasts and had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just have a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the fact that on occasions like this, we do know the sense of the presence of the Lord our God. Thou hast told us that no matter what situation or circumstance of life we find ourselves in, thou hast said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so when we're rejoicing, O God, thou art there to help us sing the song of the Lord. And when things are going against us, Lord, we thank thee that thou art there to put thine arms of comfort round about us. And Father, we pray that thou would bless the family members just now and the friends. And Lord, we pray that they might know the comfort of our blessed Lord and Savior. Now, as we turn to thy word, we pray that thou would meet with us and speak to us and give us hearts to understand thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless us and do us good. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a beautiful day, warm, with the sun shining and so on. But it's a rather sad day because we have met to say farewell to a beloved sister, Audrey. But we're thankful that, as Duncan has testified to us, that we sorrow not as those that have no hope, because her sister is now with the Lord, having committed her life to the Lord about 25 years ago. We extend to Evelyn and to Doreen and to Philip and his family and the friends our sympathy, and we do pray that the comfort of the Lord will be with you at this time of need. Now, Audrey was a unique lady, gracious, friendly, and had a good sense of humor, and we enjoyed many times of fellowship together. You've heard already that she served our country in World War II in the Women's Royal Canadian Naval Service, and I remember her being interviewed by the noted Peter Mansbridge on CBC regarding her experiences during wartime. Then, of course, as you've heard, she married Bert in 1991, and he told me that that was the best decision that he ever made in his life. And he told me also that the 5 years that he spent with Audrey were the happiest years of his life. Now, a noted feature about Audrey that's not shared by many is certainly not shared by me, and that is her love of heights. You can read in the back of the bulletin some of the things about that. Larry has mentioned some of those as well. She loved heights, and my son was arranging a hot air balloon ride for her. And this was just a few years ago. She wanted to go up on this, and my son had a contact. And it was all set up except that when you come down from the skies in the balloon, you have to be able to jump the last couple of feet out of the basket onto the ground. And she couldn't do that because of her immobility, and so that fell through. But she wanted to go do it. And I talked to her, too, about that thing on the CN Tower. Now, this man did it, but there's no way you'd get me out on that thing at all. But she was really serious when she said that she'd love to go up and do that walk where you lean back on 1,200 feet to the ground. She wanted to do that. And so she's a unique lady, especially at her age, when most people are not thinking about things of that nature. So she was a unique person and a really blessed person to know. Now, I want to continue that theme of her desire and liking for heights, because I read to you there from Revelation 4 for a reason, because in the first verse we have the voice from heaven saying, come up hither or come up higher. And so today we do know that Audrey has attained the greatest height that she's ever had before. Higher than the helicopter, higher than the aeroplanes, higher than even the CN Tower, if she had been able to do that, that she's gone from earth to heaven into the presence of the Lord. So I just want to think about those words there, come up hither, and see what the Bible teaches us. Now, first of all, John, the writer, he heard a voice, and that voice said, come up hither, or come up here, or come up higher. The Apostle John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos in the Mediterranean when he was given the tremendous revelation from God, known now today as the Book of Revelation. And John, from his perspective, is looking from earth and looking up towards heaven. And he heard this voice, and the voice came from heaven down to him on Patmos, and they told him, come up hither. Now, there's a question arises out of that, and that is, how do we respond to that question, come up hither? How do we actually go up hither, up to heaven, to be with the Lord? Now, the first thing we have to ask ourselves, well, do we actually want to go to heaven? I have only, in my 40 years of ministry, met two people who stated categorically, I do not want to go to heaven. Everybody else either will say it openly, or they have it in their heart that at the end of life that they will go to heaven. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we actually want to go to heaven? Audrey did. We've heard the testimony of how she came to the Lord, and she asked about being saved as she wanted to go to heaven and wanted to obey the Lord. But then that raised another question, and that question is, why? Why should we want to go to heaven? And the answer to that is simple, because all of us are going to die. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes before that, we are all going to die. And at some time in the future, a funeral will be held, and you and I, we will be in the casket. They'll be talking about us, and we are going to go. Now, the question now rises, well, why should we die? Why do people have to die? And the answer is very simple, because in the book of Romans, it tells us there that as by one man, and that's Adam, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men and women, because all have sinned. To every one of us is a sinner against Almighty God. But some people say, but I haven't committed any great sin. I've never murdered anybody or committed adultery or those things. I haven't done those things. Well, I can tell you that every one of us here have committed the greatest sin possible. And the greatest sin possible is breaking the greatest commandment. And what is the greatest commandment? They asked the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment." So therefore, it stands that to break the first and the greatest commandment is the greatest sin. And there's not a person here can lift their eyes to heaven and say, "I have given God the proper place in my life and the main place in my life," because every one of us have fallen so far short of the glory of the Lord. Now, the reason why we need to get to heaven is because the Lord Jesus told us there are only two options. And he tells us in the book of John in chapter 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he only gives us two options, either the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. There's no in-between. There is no second chance where after death you can then put things right. And no wise person is going to choose the latter, the resurrection of damnation. Brings another question too, and that is, why should we want to go to heaven? Because we need to be transformed by the grace of God. But where is heaven? Well, we do know this, that the Lord Jesus, it tells us, lifted up his eyes to heaven. So it's up there somewhere. Is it out to the north or to the south or to the east or to the west? Whereabouts is heaven? And we feel like Thomas the Apostle, who said to the Lord Jesus, "How can we know the way?" And so here's the Lord speaking to John, "Come up hither." And John, "How do I know the way?" But the good thing is that not only did John hear a voice, he saw a door. Because it tells you there, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." Now an open door invites entrance, and especially when it is accompanied by a spoken invitation, as it was here, "Come up hither." And so the Lord invites us through the open door. Now that teaches us something, because Audrey, in her life, naturally wanted to go higher, up the CN Tower and up on a hot air balloon and whatever she could get to get her up to the height. She wanted to do that. But Audrey, how are you going to get high, up high to heaven? How's that going to work out? And I just ask you to remember something. Way back in the book of Genesis, you have the story of Jacob. And Jacob dreamed with his head upon a stone. And in his dream, he saw a ladder. And that ladder, we're told, stretched from earth to heaven. Now, it didn't stretch from hell that the Lord spoke about. It didn't stretch from hell to heaven, because once you go there, there's no way to heaven. But it stretched from earth to heaven, and that's just the ladder that we want to get us from this scene of time up to heaven to be with the Lord. So Jacob, he saw that. Now, in practical terms, how does that help us? How does Jacob's ladder way back in Genesis help us today? Well, if you look at John chapter 1 and verse 51, you'll discover that the ladder is not a thing. The ladder is a person. Because it tells you there that Jesus said to his disciples, "Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God." So there is the ladder of Genesis interpreted for us in the book of John, and that ladder is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the road from earth to heaven. And so we need to get up that ladder and follow by him. But then you see, not only is the Lord Jesus the ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. Because again, in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, "I am the door." So this door that John saw is actually a representation of the Lord Jesus. And the good thing is, it tells us a door opened. Not a closed door. Heaven is open through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross on behalf of sinners. You see, Jesus, he is the answer to all of life's questions, because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman cometh unto the Father but by me." And so he told us that the way to heaven is by Christ. The ladder takes us up there, and he's the door into eternity, and that's the door through which Audrey entered just a few days ago. And she understood that. She understood that you need to know the Lord, and over 20 years ago, she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And so while we sorrow her passing, that is eased today by the fact that she's in a better place. She's with the Lord, and we would not want her to come back, and she would not want to come back from the joy and the pleasure of the presence of the Lord in heaven. And so John heard a voice come up hither. He saw a door opened in heaven, and that door is the Lord Jesus. And he saw a throne, and what a sight he saw, because he looked through the door and he saw 25 thrones. He saw 24 of them, and on them sat elders, men who were dressed in white and wearing golden crowns, and in the middle of that circle of thrones was the major throne, and on that throne sat the one who we're read about as worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he's in the center. Now John, when he had the vision on Patmos, he could only see with the eye of faith. But then later on, when John himself came to die, he entered into the throne, into the very presence of the Lord God Almighty. And the same with Audrey. Audrey, when she was reading her Bible, she could read, and the Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. She could read about it, and by faith she could see it afar. But now she has entered in, and you think what that must be like, to enter into the presence of God through the door in heaven, into the place where the Lord sits upon his throne, and to get to the door of heaven and find that the one who's there brings you in. My wife's mother years ago was invited to go to Buckingham Palace, and because of her work in nursing and so on, she went along there, and they entered in. But the Queen wasn't out at the gate of Buckingham Palace to welcome her in. She saw the Queen in the garden at the back afterwards, but she wasn't there. But in this case here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, he is there to welcome his people home to glory. And what a moment that must be, to be welcomed by the Lord himself, ushered into heaven by him, and to hear his words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I've been asking some questions about heaven, but there's one last and vitally important one we need to ask, and that is, will you be there? Audrey, we believe, is there through the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, but will you be there? Because someday, as I mentioned, another funeral will be held. It'll be your funeral, be my funeral. But we'll be able to say of you that, like Audrey, that you've gone to be with the Lord. Now is the time, the Bible says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And if you would want to see Audrey again, you've got to go the same way that she went. And she went by the way of the cross, and came to know the Lord Jesus. And so today we can say with confidence that she is with the Lord. A couple of years ago, I was driving near the town centre over in Scarborough here, and I came to a traffic light and had a stop. And a car pulled up alongside me, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye this guy was frantically trying to get my attention. Now, you know, in our society, we're a little reticent about responding to things like that, because you don't know who it is and you don't know what they want. He wound his window down, so I wound mine down. And I was relieved when he said, can you tell me how to get to the 401? Now, I was just going to the 401. And so in the short time we had, it was easy to say, follow me. And I drove ahead, he tucked in behind me, and I led him onto the 401 the way he went to where his destination is. If Audrey could speak to you and me today, she'd be saying the same thing. She was saying, follow me, because she has gone ahead. And she's saying, follow me. But even more important still is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying to you and me individually, follow me. And as he said to John, come up hither, come up higher. And so today, I do pray that even through the death of our sister, that some of you would come to know her Savior and be saved by the grace of the Lord. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the great hope that we have. We rejoice, O God, that we sorrow not as those that have no hope, but we rejoice that our sister is with Christ, which is far better. And Father, we pray that thou would comfort those that mourn, that give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. O God, answer prayer and comfort those that mourn. And Father, should there be those here who are not yet ready for heaven, we pray, O God, that thou would point them to Jesus Christ, that ladder that goes from earth to heaven, point to him the door of heaven. And we pray, our Father, that they may enter in by the door and be saved by the grace of God. Hear this, our prayer, and bless us now, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just have a word of committal at this moment. For as much then as it hath pleased Almighty God to take unto himself the soul of her dear departed sister in Christ, we do therefore commit her body to the ground, dust to dust, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, until the hour is spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ, quote, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Our closing hymn is the final one on your sheet, Abide With Me. Let's stand, please, as we sing.